September 20th, 2012 as I record, and this is episode number 46 of the DJMCloud.com podcast with me, Dan McKeown, and I am looking down at my Evernote that I have for the podcast. Check the show notes. A copy of the show notes will be available to you to check out at the website, djmcloud.com. Now, the music that we just came out of there was Pacific Shores. It's by my band with Jessica, Niner, and it's from the Niner 2 album, which actually just came out this summer. So you can check that out at blogs.sf3am.com/Niner and download that MP3 if you want the whole song. It's going to conclude the song at the end of the podcast. I have it edited, so podcast is 23 minutes and 37 seconds, something like that. That's how it's set up to be as long, because, you know, sometimes I actually set up the intro and outro and some of the bridges or transitions or whatever, you know, beforehand in, you know, on the iMac, and sometimes I just add a little bit or, you know, very little of that afterwards. So, you know, there's different ways to approach recording the podcast. And one of the things I was thinking about was also the show notes and the artwork that goes with that. And the artwork for each podcast also will go on the MP3. Now, some podcatchers will display it. Some will just display the general show artwork from the RSS feed. That, you know, it depends on the client that's reading the feed. But I put some artwork, you know, on the show, but some of the ones I put out there, I just put djmcloud.com or something simple because that's enough, and it has a photo or whatever, but the issue that I have is that I want to be able to reuse those images, those artworks, because I don't actually always feel like I'm doing really good work visually with photography and stuff like that when I'm recording. And then also, I have my writing. Now, you might want to check out my book. It's at danmckeown.info/book. I ran my writing sample through this website, and it said I actually write like James Joyce.
You know, they have real nice homes, but they're just Hell's Angels. They're good people.
I think they just got a bad reputation.
Well, they'll kill you, man. Ain't no doubt about that. You know, I mean, you know, Harry and Frank, and they will kill you, man. I mean, they don't give a shit. They don't worry about going to prison. That ain't nothing to them. I don't think very few Hells Angels ain't pulled a couple years or something, you know, or something dumb.
Murder's a different story, man.
Oh, yeah. But if we're Steve and Ian, for years now, they just joined the club, wasn't in the club for a year. They prospected for about 4 years. They get in. Well, they had to roll their bones, man. So they go to Cincinnati, kills this guy. They did it sloppy. They caught him. They weren't in the club for a year with full colors. Right. Now, is that worth it? Hell
no.
I was hoping you said that.
Hey, I party with them. I'll ride with them, you know, and stuff like that. Man. Bullshit. I just wish to be in the Marine Corps. I was in there, man. You know, so, if you're Hell's Agent, if you're going out of town, you got to tell them. Then you got to call them every day where you're at, you know. And
checking in, huh?
Well, yeah, man. Who wants to do that, man? I want to go somewhere. I want to go, man. I don't have to want to call the clubhouse and say, you know what I'm saying. But they're good guys, man. I've always got along good with them, partying with them. They've been over here on the deck partying with me and everything else. But I don't want to join no clubs, man.
Mitt Romney was recorded saying his infamous 47% comments. Well, that was apparently recorded in May, but the story is just breaking, and, well, he's already trailing in the polls.
Miami Herald, video causes headache for Romney. In Lakeland, Florida, the headline is, Romney tries to soften damage. In Daytona Beach, Romney battles video fallout, candidate defensive over controversy. In Colorado Springs, Romney trying to control damage from controversy.
Well, Mitt Romney is demeaning the work ethic of many Americans, misunderstanding or mischaracterizing intentionally maybe what they do. When people that are included in groups like retired people on Social Security or Medicaid recipients that are in need of those services. And there's a lot of people that are receiving some sort of benefit that really don't deserve to be criticized. Maybe none of those people deserve to be criticized, but Mitt Romney's unspeakably arrogant attitude is probably going to help Barack Obama in the election. He is, currently trailing in the polls. It's unclear if this comment is going to widen his deficit, but Romney is behind. As New York Magazine put it recently, quote, "The real Romney captured on tape turns out to be a sneering plutocrat," unquote. And that fits in with what I looked at in the New York Review of Books recently. There's this article in nybooks.com that reviews recent books by Paul Krugman and Joseph Stiglitz. These are both Nobel Economics Prize winners. You know that the Nobel Prize it's called something like the Swedish Academy Nobel Prize for Economics or something like that. It's awarded in Stockholm. I'm not sure it was part of the original set of Nobel Prizes. It may or may not have been, but it's certainly a high honor in the field of economics. So Paul Krugman and Joseph Stiglitz earlier than Krugman, have both won Nobel Prizes in economics, and they both have books that are critical of the direction of economic policy. I think it's fair to say it would be probably a good idea to read both these books. These are, both very intelligent economists and commentators, and I think that the article is a little too smug, a little overly sympathetic to Barack Obama's inaction on pushing more needed fiscal stimulus. The iPhone 5 has been introduced, and there's a division about whether this is a, you know, another excellent installment in the series or something very unexciting. But I think that the basics come down to it's a little longer. It has almost 16:9 display. And it has LTE antennas for faster cell phone data connections, and a number of other features. There's a different kind of dock connector, and people are talking about the new Maps app that uses Apple's own Maps instead of Google's, because Google is doing their own thing with Android, and the companies are a long way apart these days, so that makes sense in a lot of ways that Apple would have its own mapping solution, because Apple and Google are competing directly with iOS and Android, and I think that you can see the new Android kind of expansion in cameras again. I was talking about a Nikon model in a previous podcast. Now there, Samsung has announced its own Android running camera. It's called the Galaxy camera. Of course, they have tablets called the Galaxy Tabs, like the one that I'm holding in my hand using Evernote with, and then they have phones with that name, and they also now have a camera. And it looks like it has a touch screen on the back. It runs Android. Now, I'm still curious as to what kind of integration Android has. Like, for example, does a camera app fire the lenses directly on this camera? How does it work? Under what conditions does one use conventional point-and-shoot camera controls, because it looks like a conventional point-and-shoot camera like the Nikon one. So I don't know what exactly these things are going to do, but I think that they could be interesting to watch. And of course, you know, as someone who really likes cameras and technology, I think they look cool and all, but I guess that for now I still think that using a desktop computer is the best tool to handle photography. iOS and Android photography apps can be cool to use. And actually, some people are taking them extremely seriously because, for example, the Cleveland Plain Dealer has announced the My Cleveland Smartphone Movie Contest, where people are being encouraged to submit short movies about Cleveland. People have backed this Kickstarter project called Pebble. People behind it said they were making a watch or something like that. And now the people that backed it are wondering if they'll ever get these vaporware watches that they were promised. Now, you know, like Kickstarter, people back projects, but the projects will often promise the end product to someone who donates a certain amount. But the Kickstarter is about creating the product. And, you know, so there is always the possibility of just total failure in production or even at some point design. Don't they often present pretty preliminary designs on Kickstarter? I don't know what people expect, but the Pebble watch, you know, it hasn't been delivered so far, and I know there's other projects like that too. I've been following from some distance the evolution of the Linux desktop. Of course, a lot of people talk about Android these days, which is uses the Linux kernel. But the desktop Linux market is, I think at least holding steady, if it isn't growing much. And there's been a split. There used to be the traditional split between the GNOME and KDE interfaces. But recently, the Ubuntu distribution and the Linux Mint distribution have basically started maintaining their own custom desktop layers. Now, Ubuntu calls theirs Unity, and that might be a slightly ironic title. But then Linux Mint, they call there's Cinnamon. Now, what I think they do is they take code from, I think they both take the underlying code from GNOME 3 in some areas and some similar packages, but then they put a different interface on top. Because the only Linux install that I have in the house right now is a really outdated computer, a single core computer from 2005. I just have CrunchBang, which uses this OpenBox distro, which is very light. So I haven't really been testing the more up-to-date distros, but it certainly seems like I would check one of those alternative ones out, along with the traditional KDE and GNOME interfaces like Kubuntu and Fedora still use. Also, there's the Mate desktop, which is I guess it's supposed to be a fork of GNOME 2.
And there he is, the hero pig.
You see some of these camcorders that are very affordable now. I was looking at some of the ones when I was recently at a Best Buy, a little looking at other stuff. We got a TV recently and stuff. I was looking at the camera section also. Just noticed that this Samsung HMX F80, and the camera actually is like a fairly reasonable camcorder. I think it's marked down to around $150. Now it says HD. Now it is actually 720p. They talk about upscaling, but you don't want to bother with that. It's like you look at the reviews on some of these, and some of them are positive, but some of them are very lukewarm. And it's very cool that a HD camcorder has become that affordable. But if these companies want to differentiate what they're offering as dedicated camcorders, compared to what some of the same companies are offering as smartphones, they're going to have to offer a better camera, not just basic zoom and basic HD. I mean, there's complaints about the microphone in some of these reviews. I don't know, but it wasn't, the type of thing that I would pick up even as just, something to try out, because it just isn't worth it. I mean, it's very affordable, but it's still a substantial amount of money. So I think they have to find a way to get more relevant with the dedicated camcorders, because on the high-end DSLRs and then on the medium and low-end smartphones are really taking that HD video market. And I think a dedicated camcorder still has a cool niche, but it needs more support. It needs buyers in the market, kind of like the PS Vita does. If that platform is going to last, that they're going to need a lot more people to actually buy into the platform, Vita, I want to see cool games come out for it. The game library, there's been a few, but, there's been a lot of limitations.
It's okay. Why the hell?
Bullshit!
Well, check the show notes if you want to see links to a few more stories, including another story about a guy. Well, this is a guy who wears the same shirt every day. You know, that's just the ongoing discussion about wearing the same clothes every day, although I don't know about this guy. Then there's also a prominent pirate party politician who is going after book pirates. And, you know, pirate party is actually a thing in Europe. And now, in order to get her book published, Julia Schramm has apparently allowed her publisher to go after book pirates. She signed the kind of contract that allowed that, which of course is a conventional publishing contract, but yeah, it doesn't really, it questions, you know, it does seem to kind of question, you know, what she's really standing for as a member of the pirate party. At least that's the way it was reported on the Torn Freak website. Well, this has been the DJMCloud.com podcast with me, Dan McKeown. If you want to support the show, go to screambird.djmcloud.com and then follow the link to the Google Play Store and buy, one or a few of my MP3s. You know, I get a 70% cut of that. Also, just, you know, check the show notes, djmcloud.com, and, you know, you should be able to find the podcast in iTunes, too. So I guess, you know, all the podcasters say to leave a review in iTunes, right? So maybe you could do that for this podcast.